than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and now for the first time ever, the Baltimore Sports Report Network. We are available on all those platforms. Thank you very much. We are very happy to be a part of the Baltimore Sports Report. We're going to talk some Baltimore Ravens football. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, Brandon. What's going on, buddy? It's preseason going on week three, man. It's getting close, bro.
Yeah, you know, our buddy Glenn on WNST, he commented on these last two games saying this was pretty much like diet football. It's not real, true regular season football, but we all know that's the reason when these preseason games are happening. It's to see these guys who are on the bubble, who might not make the team, who are trying to, you know, play for their livelihood. It's to see those guys and what they're going to do. So we're going to review the first two games here that we've seen so far from the Ravens. Before we get into the game notes and everything, though, let's talk about the very first game. Let's talk about what it was like to be back at M&T Bank Stadium, what it was like to have that crowd again. What was your biggest takeaway from that first game?
First off, before I can get to the biggest takeaway, it was great to be back at the bank, M&T, one of the premier venues we know. It was just great to see the flood on Ravens Walk, touching Johnny's foot. You know how the tradition goes, man. It just was great to get back in my seat, great to see the regular season. My family, you know, home away from home, 8 Sundays a year. It was great to see everybody. But my takeaway from the game was, this offense is going to surprise some people. This offense was just, they went right down the field. You know, 10 plays, 80 yards, and what, I think 6 minutes and a touchdown. You couldn't have a better debut than that. It just was awesome to see. They just went right down the field, boom, 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 play after play. They hit Jacoby for a pass, hit Steve Smith for a pass, hit Dennis Pitta up the sideline. It was just one of these drives where it was like, if this is happening, the sky's the limit for this offense. They blocked for Joe. It was impressive to see Ray Rice try to get in the end zone, and it was called back, and then Pierce just pounded his way. What I've seen was it was a good game. I'm not going to sing praises because we had some few letdowns. We had some lapses on defense where, I mean, the first series on defense, it was kind of concerning me where, yes, they held them to 3, but they let San Fran drive right down the field. So my takeaway from the game is this offense looks great, and they didn't stop going into Dallas. I know the scoring and the wins and losses don't count. I mean, we are 2-0 in the preseason. Everybody was jumping on the concern bandwagon, well, jumping into from the San Fran game to, because they were kind of dominant, you know, on the first, second, and third string front. You know, they dominated San Fran's team. I remember they were saying how Harbaugh was, you know, calling certain plays and not trying to run the score up on his brother, blah, 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 because we could have. Another takeaway was Justin Tucker is amazing. This kid's ridiculous. I mean, hitting 50-yarders, just missed the 61 again. I know he hit one in Detroit when I was there. This kid is nothing short of amazing. I know he's going to make some fantasy owners happy with his points production, but on the field, this kid's money, and we're going to have to pay him accordingly. But before we even get to that part, Justin Tucker on this offense is going to help us out tremendously, bud. Tremendously.
Yeah, absolutely. Justin Tucker, I mean, he's he's definitely one of the shining stars here. And it's crazy to think that a couple years ago it was going to be like, who's going to get that that job? Is it going to be Justin Tucker? But thankfully, John Harbaugh went with Tucker, and he's really shown what he can do in the last couple years. I mean, the dude is extremely talented at what he does. I mean, you can't take that away from him. But
absolutely.
I want to say I wasn't actually supposed to go to the game. I didn't have tickets to the first preseason game, but I actually won tickets from Power Plant. They were doing a little contest on Facebook, and I entered it, and I actually won, and it was for two seats in a suite at M&T Bank Stadium. Now, let me just tell you, if you've never been to one of the suites, normally I looked it up on StubHub. The seats I had were around $800 a game. So I don't think I'll ever get to sit in those seats again. But they
had living the high life, are you?
Yeah, yeah. At least for one preseason game. But it was kind of crazy. There were leather couches, and there were five TVs in this one suite, and then they had leather chairs outside. But just think about it. Remember, we went to that game where it snowed, last December.
Yes, which was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, sitting in the suite though, like think about it. We could have gone inside and sat down and watched the game on TV, even though we were live right there. So we didn't have to go through all that weather, but I enjoyed sitting through the snow and everything out there. But it was a lot of fun. Those seats were pretty amazing, right on the 50-yard line. I was shocked at when we got into that suite, what it was like. So that was pretty cool. I will say this: I was, we've talked about this, and this is going past football and more personal things, but I was a little bit shocked about how much of a reception Ray Rice got when he, like, just coming onto the field, and if he ever touched the ball. I mean, he got more of an ovation than any other Raven out there. So I was a little shocked that it was that warm of a reception. But, he is rebuilding his character. We already talked about that. We don't have to get into that again. But he did.
It was good.
Yeah, he did look good on the field. I mean, never going to take that away from him. He did look good on the field. So he definitely did a good job there on the offense.
Well, here's one thing I wanted to interject there, Brandon, is you're saying the suite and how I understand that you're enjoying the suite life up at the stadium. But my question to you is, I want to get your take on this, because it's something you said, that we were at this new game and you said it would have been nice to go inside and they had TVs in there even though we're live. This always brings up a good debate with people, but here's the problem I have with that is, you know me, I'm one of the diehard fans, and I like being in the elements. I mean, and even when we were there, bro, there was nothing wrong. I'm going to say there's nothing wrong, but I mean, there was nothing like being at the stadium and enjoying the snow, enjoying the elements. I mean, that was fun. And I mean, that game I remember for the rest of my life, and especially sharing it with you and a couple of my good friends. But it always brings up a good point, because a lot of people will get those kind of seats, and I think it always takes away of, like, you know, the game elements, being at the game, because it's like, I feel like you're sitting in a fancy, like, living room, or if you can see, I'm trying to drive my point home. It's like, you know, being at the suite, I always picture those at, like, baseball games, or, I mean, I've been in a suite at a Wizards game, so I know the, and I've been in one at some concerts, so I know how they are. They're pretty sweet. I mean, they got the fridge full of drinks, they got the food spreads. I mean, and you got the, you can go out of your box and go into the seats and watch the game live, or go back in. I mean, it is the high life, as they say. They are expensive tickets, you know, between, you know, you said $8,000 to $2,000 for a game. It's almost like that. I'm like, if you're going to have that environment, you could save your $2,000, maybe buy Super Bowl tickets later in the year and watch it at home and have your own spread. So that's just, I always thought that point, like, if I'm going to go to the game, I'm going to the game. Like, I'm not going to spend $1,000 of my money and then, oh, I'm going to go watch it on TV and enjoy food. I mean, that's what I've always thought. I mean, it just didn't dawn on me that. I mean, hey, I'm glad they were free for you, and I'm glad you had a great experience. I'm not knocking your experience, Brandon, but it just brings a point up. Like, would you pay that money? That's the question I pose. Like, would you pay that kind of money for even season tickets or a game? Just experience it when you could have that same experience at home. I'd rather be out in the elements and hooping it with the crowd. If I'm going to pay money for a game,
that's, yeah, those sweet seats are definitely, I will say, they are for businesses. They are to impress a client and to get them to spend money on your business. So those seats are definitely for those who are trying to build their own personal business, and they're very corporate. So if you are one of those people that likes to go to games and likes to you know, scream at the team and you know, say screw you to the opposing team, and you want to be one of those loud people, the suite life is not built for you, because it's not supposed to be that. It's supposed to be like, that was a great play. Let me tell you about, you know, the finances of our new corporation here. You know, it's to schmooze. That's about it. And I'm,
well, Brandon, let's do this. Hey, for all of our business owners out there, we'll leave that to the schmoozing in the booth. But it's, I could always picture, you know, let's trying to do a business deal, and let's say we're all rooping up at Section 517 where we sit every year. And I can see trying to impress a business client, and it's a Ravens Steeler game, and it gets heated. So I can kind of see how I can get out of hand pretty quickly. But it's just a fun topic to talk about. But I've always just, I know, you know, deep down, you know, they are for business purposes. I always like to poke fun at them. But I mean, you know, I've seen them used for personal things. So I mean, I've actually, a friend of mine 2 years ago, when we won the Super Bowl during the year, one of those games, they rented one out. They had a bachelor party in there, so they rented them all out, and then afterwards they went out. So it was kind of like, you know, you can rent them for those kind of events, and, you know, and you can have everybody in one room and still be at the game. So I think it just creates that nice, I guess, the added, one of those added benefits that you can still get from the game experience, being that the one premier venues. But I always thought that was cool. But and speaking of premier venues, I mean, I know M&T Bank's second on the list now, and it might even be third from what I heard about Levi Stadium out in San Francisco. But we had to travel to the Big House in Dallas, didn't we?
That's right. One of the biggest video screens in the entire world at this place.
I want to play PlayStation 4 on that screen, dude. That'd
you know, be, if you watch Conan O'Brien, when he did his shows in Dallas, he actually went there and he played video games on that giant screen.
Did he?
So, yeah.
No, I missed that. See, oh, yeah. I did. That's it.
You have to check that out. It's pretty funny because he's playing like Street Fighter on this giant screen in the middle of, you know, the Dallas Stadium.
I can only imagine.
But yeah, let's jump right into it. Let's talk about that Dallas Cowboys game. There were a lot of shining stars for the Ravens, a lot of guys trying to make their mark. But let's talk about, like, at least just the first half right here where we barely saw the offense. I mean, what an odd game that was. I mean, if this was the regular season, I don't know what I would call this game, but uneven, odd, weird, strange. This is not a typical football game that we saw this past weekend.
No, I mean, even Harbaugh, they brought that up in the post game, bring up a good point. Harbaugh even said something like that, like he knows that was an interesting football game, because it's, you don't see that often. He even said something to Jason Garrett. I just thought it was pretty cool. I mean, we total domination first half, and then all of a sudden it's a football game. And I'm like, I know, like I said, wins and losses don't matter. The Ravens could win by 50 or lose by 50. They could lose by 50 and still look good in my eyes, because I only look at I look at certain nuances in the game. I don't look at the whole team as a whole, because obviously you're only going to put the best 11 on each side of the football on game day come regular season. But yeah, man, I mean, it was kind of funny because even I was surprised when I was saying, well, Joe Flacco's in there well past the mark in the second quarter, or he's starting to, you know, I can't remember at this point if he started the second half, but because it was just, everything was just, I was watching too many things in this game because it was very important to see. But you're right. But then I applaud that because we had other phases of our team scoring, which I'm fine with. If we can get a 14 points before even our offense takes the field, Brandon, in the regular season, I'm going to take that all day long. And I mean, I know Joe's loving it. And I mean, I know any other elite quarterback would take it. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. Hey, if I didn't have to touch the field and my team scoring, you know, more power to you. So, I mean, it just shows you the depth and the strength of this team. If we can score in all phases, which we did, we scored on offense, defense, special teams. But when the offense got on, little sluggish at first, but they got their rhythm going. I mean, I saw some good things. Saw Dennis Pitta making some good plays underneath. The running game, if what I think what might happen after what I saw in Dallas, look out. I mean, Bernard Pierce looks strong. I have no worries in the first two games. The line is blocking. I mean, like I said, it's really hard to tell because we don't know if the other lines, you know, mix up first strings and second strings, but to me it doesn't matter. To me, it's an NFL caliber player that's suiting up for an NFL team on the other side. I don't care what their pay grade is, I don't care what their experiences is, they get paid to block the same as the Ravens get paid to block. So you better put your money up where it is and get in there and trenches and block. And the Ravens dominated. I mean, they hooping holes for Bernard Pierce. Bernard Pierce had a run on the left side you could drive a whole tractor trailer through it. Ray Rice had a nice 18-yard run. They looked primed and ready. Joe Flacco thrown ropes. That touchdown pass to Torrey Smith was right on point. And I don't think if he'd have caught it, it would have been first and goal because that defender was grabbing Torrey and all kind of, I mean, it was just it was very impressive to me to see him come out and do it again. This Gary Kubiak offense, I am fired up to see what they can do come week one against the Bengals because from what I've seen, I can't wait to see what happens this weekend coming up against the Redskins because that's when the Stars are going to play most of the game, probably well into the third quarter. So we're going to really get to see a simulated game and how they are. So if the offense scores two or three touchdowns in two or three quarters, this is going to be a dress rehearsal for things to come this season.
Yeah, you know, I was a little bit worried with the offense after they finally came onto the field because it looked like they were very disjointed. It didn't seem like they were all on the same page. And that's what I was worried about coming into this season, about whether or not Joe was going to be on the same page with a guy like, you know, Steve Smith, who's coming in early. But eventually they kind of worked the kinks out and were able to get a few things done. Very happy with you know, Courtney Upshaw. He definitely showed up. He got his first touchdown there. That was a great thing to see. CJ Mosley, man, let's talk about him. This guy, he's the rookie coming in. I gotta say, this guy doesn't look like a rookie at all. He looks like he is primed and ready to be a full-time Raven.
Dude, starter for sure. He's showing why the Ravens picked him at number 17 overall, and he's showing all the haters out there. I remember on draft day, why did we pick defense? Why didn't we pick a flashy receiver? Yeah, okay, timeout. You know, the Ravens are the Ravens. They, like I said, going back to the draft in what was it, April? I don't even remember. Man, this whole summer has been a blur. I said it time and time again. The last time we drafted a linebacker was Ray Lewis in the first round. Because Suggs was second. My whole quarrels is, put all that aside, CJ Mosley is the real deal. He's showing why we picked him at 17. He's showing why he's going to be the future of this defense because now that Suggs is on his back end of his career, he's got his last contract as a Raven. He's showing the youthfulness that we're going towards. He's showing the leadership. The dude's all over the map. He's all over the field. He's making tackles. He's running. Number 57, he's going to have a green knot on his helmet before long. I know Darryl Smith has his duties, but C.J. Mosley might be the mainstay on the defense for years to come in Baltimore. So I've been pleased, and not only him, but how about, you know, let's talk about our draft class. How about Lorenzo Talaferro, man? Like, how about the job this kid's doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing what these young guys are doing. It's really been impressive, and it kind of shows you what the Ravens can really do when they're using the draft. I mean, they know what they need. They know who to look for, and they get the guys that they absolutely need to fill those spots.
I mean, Brandon. I know Brandon Tregwick's not a rookie, but he had that awesome pick. And speaking of the secondary, because we're depleted. I mean, I was worried when Jimmy Smith went down. And again, he's okay, and I know Ray Rice is going to be okay. They're just going to hold these guys off for the regular season. But I'm worried about our secondary, buddy, because our secondary is depleted. We've lost Deason Jackson so far. I know Aaron Ross was our addition. He's out for the year. Deason Jackson's bruised up. Jimmy Smith banged up. Ladarius Webb. I mean, I'm not confident with the secondary as it is right now, but hopefully we get these guys better and rested up for the first weeks in September. But from what I've seen from the offense, and I mean, Suggs was in the backfield, Suggs was in the backfield, Dumerville was making tackles. I mean, this team, I think once they start gelling and get their wings under them and start getting the plays down and getting the rhythm of a good game going, I think this team's going to be solid. I'm just, like I said, I'm worried about our secondary because all our secondary can do is, it's almost like do these penalties. Because, I mean, that's Bryant right down the field, and it was like these elite receivers going to, I mean, we get AJ Green out of the gate. I'm worried about that guy. So, and you're going to have to put Jimmy Smith on him, and if Jimmy Smith's not healthy, who are you going to put on him? I'm not confident in – right now I'm not confident in Shockey Brown's playmaking ability thus far. I mean, he's been okay. He'll make a play and then just get burned. Make a play, get burned. So I want that consistency there. I like to see it. You know, like I said, I'm deep down, I root for the guy. Want to see him do good. He's been solid for a couple years. But that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the guy to step up, make some plays. But like you said, Brandon, these rookies they're absolutely amazing. And not only that, but the second and third year guys, John Simon's impressing me. Kyle Juszczyk is just out there hammering away, doing number 44 justice with Vonta Leach's old number. I mean, it's just I'm impressed. And I mean, I know some of the announcers were bringing his name up in the preseason games. He's out there just doing it. He's doing his job, and I'm loving what I'm seeing. And not only that, but we have a Mr. 108.2 and Deontay Thompson, man. I mean, 108-yard return. Very impressive. Very impressive indeed. And it reminded me of the old Super Bowl days, man. And he just took it to the house and wasn't even touched, just like old Jacoby. So I know they had a conversation about that. So Jacoby's got a run for his money here, man, because we might find another returner for long if Jacoby don't keep it up. But we have Jacoby Jones. We know he's capable of.
Yeah, absolutely. Deontay Thompson, I mean, that was an amazing feat that he was able to do. I mean, definitely mm-hmm. showed he's got some wheels. He's got a lot of speed behind him. And I think they said he was about a yard off of the record for, you know, the Dallas Stadium longest return. So
right.
He's definitely got some wheels, but he's definitely got competition. I mean, Jacoby Jones, he's a favorite. You know that he can run. You know that he's a great returner. But if you're not going to do it with Jacoby Jones, then usually you'll have Asa Jackson running back returns like that. So he's definitely got some competition. He still could make the roster, but we don't know. We need to see what comes up in the next two games. But the cornerbacks, that's going to be the big question mark. That's the big thing people are going to focus on throughout the preseason and possibly through the regular season. I mean, to see Jimmy Smith spitting up blood on the field, your worst fear right there was that he was going to be out for a while. And like you said, it looks like it's not going to be that serious. They're expecting him to play on Saturday. So we'll see what happens there. But without Lardarius Webb, without Asa Jackson, I mean, it definitely showed where the biggest weakness is on this team. And Shockey Brown, we were talking about it with Shockey and Asa. They were going to be fighting it out, duking it out, who was going to be the better man, who was going to make this team. And that first game, it looked like Asa Jackson kind of pulled ahead. Shockey Brown, he looked okay, like you said. There was, if you remember, there was one breakup of a pass that he made down the field, and it was a great, he put his hand up, he knew exactly where the ball was, and was able to slap it away.
Yep, so that was a great play.
But at the same time, it was underthrown. It wasn't the greatest thing because it wasn't, you know, the first string quarterback at that point in time of the game. So it was a guy who has less experience than Tony Romo. So Shockey, he's definitely got some work to do. I'd still like to see him make this team, but he right now is losing to Asa Jackson, even with Asa Jackson not on the field. You know, Asa Jackson has definitely shown what he can do, at least in the first game.
Right. He's got the spot right now locked up. I should say, barring, you know, he's injured, but right now you're right. He's, I agree with you right there, Brandon. He's been playing for that position, and right now he's got it, unless Brown wants to steal it. But like I said, 2 weeks left. It's 2 weeks to show what you got and make the 53-man roster, man. I mean, you got to play in day and down. No one's job safe, and especially with, you know, I know, you know, Deontay Thompson's not going to come in and take Jacoby Jones' job here, obviously. We know that. But as we've seen, we have other playmakers that could step up and take that role. Number one, if there's an injury, or number two, if there's poor play. So we have the guys ready to do battle with. It's just a matter of, you know, who we're going to fit in and where. You know, if Shockey Brown's going to step up, is AC Jackson going to start? Is, you know, CJ Moses going to start with the first team? Or is he going to be thrown in there with the first team on nickel defense or third down? We don't know. It remains to be seen. But from right now, you know, Moses making a case for a starting team. I'm loving what I'm seeing around some of the rookies. Terrence Brooks has been solid this far. Haven't seen anything too bad regarding his play. But right now, I just can't wait to see what it looks like against the Redskins for the dress rehearsal in week 3 of the preseason. What I'm looking for in that game, Brandon, I'm looking to contain RG3. He's one of those prototype quarterbacks that can run and pass. We know what he brings to the table. We all know, again, what happened last time the Redskins and Ravens faced off. I know this isn't a regular season game, but it ultimately ended up being our own demise. We knocked him out of the game. He did not try to hit him, and Kirk Cousins came in, and we all know what happened there. Lost in overtime, but it's just – I just want to see what really happens because these kind of quarterbacks give us fits. We have one in the AFC North in Johnny Manziel. If he steps up to the plate and takes the starting position over Brian Hoyer, we're going to have problems with the same type quarterback because we have a pure pocket passer in Ben Roethlisberger we faced last year. We all know he's tough as nails to bring down. And Andy Dalton's not much of a runner. So it just gives us a different look on what to look out for when we play this kind twice a year, if Johnny Manziel steps up and takes the starting position. We play the Browns in week three, but that's why I'm looking for the Redskins. I'm looking at them to how they can on Alfred Morris, because he's one of those pound-for-pound hard-nosed runners. He's not a finesse back, so he's just going to go ground and pound. Usually these type of running backs, I think these type of running backs give us fits more than those Ray Rice-type running backs, the finesse guys, because usually we nip them in the bud. Like, we've always handled Reggie Bush well. I don't think Darren Sproles has given us problems. I remember even Ray Lewis stopped him in the backfield in that one play in San Diego, which was memorable. But I know, like, Peyton Hillis gave us problems back in the day. You know, these guys give us problems. The only back I can probably say that's given us problems was Jamaal Charles. But it's beside this point. We need the key on Alfred Morris. They have two good weapons on the sides, and DeSean Jackson, now a new addition. Pierre Garçon caught a lot of catches last year, a lot of yards. So they got two good weapons, and they got a tight end, Jordan Reed. So this offense is pretty solid that we're going to be playing against. So it's going to be interesting to see how this defense stacks up at home against that offense, how they key on these guys. And Jordan Reed's athletic. We know what DeSean Jackson can bring. Pierre Garçon's a solid receiver. That's what's going to come down to. It's going to be stopping these guys, making plays, and stepping up their game to match what we're going to be facing, because it's going to be regular season type atmosphere for 2.5 to 3 quarters of football. And I'm excited to see what that's going to happen. And for our guys, I want to see, you know, not turn the ball over. I mean, Joe Flacco, I can't even – correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon, but has Joe Flacco not thrown a pick thus far in the preseason?
I don't believe he has. I can't remember one.
He has. He did in the team practice.
Right.
I know he tipped on the Matt Elam on the first pass, but again, you know, I'm fine with that because it's our defense, and I like that out of our two sides playing against each other, because one's got to do good, one's got to do bad. They both can't do good, obviously. That's right. You know, Joe Flacco, to my memory, is not throwing an interception. I want that trend to continue. I want this offense to just continue to do what they do best and get first downs when it's timely, third and short, third and seven, make the right play call. I know this is, you know, one of my pet peeves, but my whole thing is when it's third and whatever, you know, I always hate seeing these checkdowns underneath and trying to get to the first down. Guys, go to the sticks. I like to see – I know Gary Kubiak's got this offense under control, and he's got a game plan for us. Now, I want to see this offense attack, and I've heard the Flacco being vocal and saying at points this offense wasn't aggressive enough. He wants the offense to come out faster, more aggressively. I love it. I want to see it. They did in week one against San Fran. They went right down the field and scored. And once they got going in this past week in Dallas, they started scoring some points in offense. They went right down and scored that touchdown to Torrey. I'm just impressed to see what I'm very, very excited to see what I can see out of this team come to dress rehearsal in week three. Want the defense to take care of business, tackle hard, which they've been doing, go to the ball, not giving up those big plays, not having those mental breakdowns, the stupid penalties, the holdings across the middle, roughing the quarterback. I just wanted to – I mean, you can't really ask for a perfect game, but I just want a clean, solid game. You know, you're going to have your breakdowns. You're going to have a little hold, tug of the jersey. You're going to have a pass interference trying to play the ball. But just, you know, make them where they're not going to hurt us. And that's what I'm looking out for. I'm looking out for who's going to make the starting roster. I'm looking for who's on the bubble. You know, we've talked about some of those, you know, injuries that are right now, and the players are stepping up. Who's going to come up and step up and take that starting job? Who's going to come up and make the coaches say, hey, you know, we have to consider this guy because now look what he's bringing to the table. So it's going to be a tough job for the coaching staff, and I hate to have their jobbers right now, man, because it's going to be tough trying to see who we want to keep and who we want to let go. Harbaugh's even said it's going to be a close race, and they're making it tougher and tougher for him each week because everybody's stepping up to play, which can bring all 70 guys on board, but we can't. We got to cut a few of them out, cut the fat, as I'm just saying. We got to cut the bad stuff out, keep the good stuff in, and that's what I'm looking for come the Redskins game, man. I'm fired up, bro. We're going to be at the bank. It's going to be a great time. Again, fans will be there. And speaking of that, I wanted to touch on that, fans being there. It was announced that there was – I don't know how they monitored this because the practice was free, but they said there was 28,000 fans at the team practice at the stadium. I can't remember the numbers at the Navy practice because it wasn't down there. But when they announced that, I was like, 28,000 for a practice. You know, the stadium capacity is 70,000 plus a little change. And you have 28,000. That's like an average for an Orioles game, and you had that crowd at a practice. Then they announced that there were 70,000 at the Niners game. I mean, whether that was paid attendance, whether that was they were in their seats and then left, because, I mean, by this halftime, it was starting to thin out. But when they announced those numbers, that speaks volumes, man. I mean, you have – they've had a practice and a preseason game, and you have just under 100,000 people attend that. That's pretty stinking solid, and it shows a lot for the fan base and the team, showing the support that it doesn't matter, practice, scrimmage, or whatever, we're coming out to support our Ravens, man. I mean, we're two-time world champions. We have Hall of Famers all over the place, Pro Bowlers. We're one of the most prestigious organizations in the league, and not only in that, but in the franchise of all sports, top 20. So it shows, man. I mean, we have a great venue. I'm just tickled to death, so I just wanted to say shout-out to the fans. I know I want to of them that go every week when we have tickets. So, but it's just great to see the showing, and I know it's going to be another packed house on Saturday night seeing the Redskins play.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm excited to see what the Redskins are going to look like, because I was there at the 2 years ago when the Ravens went up yep. against the Redskins in their own barn, and I got to say the Redskins fans were kind of dicks. So I'm interested to see how the Ravens fans are going to treat those Redskins fans, because they're not far away. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of Redskins fans making the trip up to Baltimore, and I want to see how the Raven fans treat these Redskins fans. Whether or not they're going to be the same as they were down at FedEx Field, you know, not in D.C., but, you know, in Landover, Maryland. But I'm interested to see what that happens. But the Redskins are a completely different team than they were 2 years ago. Yeah, they still have RG3, but it looks as if RG3 and the coach might be getting along a little bit better than they were 2 years ago or even last year. So whether or not that's going to be a big difference, I want to see that. I want to see whether or not they're actually going to be a contender, whether we're going to see them, you know, possibly in the postseason or something like that, because they're a completely different team. I think the Ravens know what they got to look for. The rookies and the second string guys, they know if they want to make this team what they got to do. The defense is a big question mark at the cornerback position, as well as with special teams and defense on tackling. You know, is a guy like Omar Brown going to be able to make the team, because he did get, you know, bulldozed this past week. I want to see what he's going to do. Right. So as we're getting closer, I mean, two games left in the preseason, this is when this is do or die time. This is put up or shut up. Are you going to be able to make this team? Certain players you're going to see play the full game probably. Look at a guy like Marlon Brown. I don't know if you noticed this past week, but he played the entire game. He was out there with all the guys. And my favorite part of watching it on WBAL was when Q, who I think he may have been drinking towards the end of that game on Saturday, because some of the stuff he was saying was just off the wall. But he, whenever we would talk about Marlon Brown, or somebody would say, Marlon Brown did this, Marlon Brown made a tackle on special teams, he would go, shh, don't let anyone know he's out there. Don't let anyone know he's out there. He's our secret weapon. You know, I like the fact that we saw Marlon Brown doing more and more. And pretty much Q was pretty much just saying like, hey, he's going to make the team. They're just giving him a little bit more time out there. But he's our secret weapon. He's a tall guy. He's going to make some great right. plays. But he's going to be making the starting team, even though he's playing the full game. So
under the radar, man. I'm glad you brought him up, because I wanted to go back on my notes, and that's something I jotted down, was Marlon Brown has somewhat, I wouldn't say fallen off the map, but he's disappeared this preseason. I know last year he had a breakout first year, came out of nowhere, and then he caught that touchdown pass to win it for the Vikings game, and that kind of, that's what he's known for now, you know, the old folklore story, you know, how he caught the winning pass, now here he comes. the legend of Martin Brown. But you're right, man. I think they're getting him in there because they want to see what he can bring, and he hasn't got enough reps. And I'm glad they're doing so. But that's one guy I really want to step up and see if he can make some plays. He's big, he's tall, and he's going to provide another weapon again. Because if you figured, and another name I always wanted to throw in there, and I know he's been relatively quiet, but our newest addition offense, D. Smith. I mean, he's caught a few passes, but from what I've seen out of him, he's been fine, man. I mean, if he does what he does for a whole game in the regular season, I have no worries about that. I mean, he's been catching these passes across the middle on the sideline, but they've been timely, and they've been for completions. Haven't seen anything other than that, but, I mean, it's really hard to get everybody these reps when you're only playing a quarter to two quarters, quarter and a half to two quarters every time. So once they get a full game in, I think we'll see what they're all made of.
Yeah, I think the preseason game is a good time for Joe and Steve Smith to get accoladed to each other. But Steve Smith, I'm not worried about, because if you watch the preseason, or not the preseason, the pre-show to this past game, he's motivated. He doesn't like the fact that he was pretty much let go at his old team. You know, he was. Because every time he the camera comes to him, he says, "I'm an old man playing a young man's game." So he's motivated to prove himself. He's motivated to show that he can be a Raven. So he's definitely got the heart and the strength to do it. I have no doubt in my mind that he can do it. It's just I want him to get more and more accoladed to the way that Joe plays, because obviously they both got talent. They just got to get used to each other and how they do their thing. But like
you know what it reminds me of, Brandon? It reminds me of one of our old leaders, man, number 52, towards the end of his career. You know, he always says that. Everybody told me I was old, and he came out and showed him, especially when he came back from his injury on the last ride, man. He led the team in tackles for the first three games leading up to the Super Bowl, bud. I mean, he went out and led. He went out and did it. I remember in the Colts game, he was running around out there. He was chasing down the running backs, and these running backs are quicker than he is. He was chasing down the backfield like it was 2000, like he was running side out of sideline. I'm like, and I even remember seeing that. I'm like, dude, Ray just keyed on him and tackled him. A 2-yard loss, just like it was nothing. And I think that's what Steve Smith's going towards. You know, it's okay. Everybody thinks I'm washed up. Everybody thinks I'm old and slow, and I have nothing else to lift in the tank. But he's been the most consistent receiver for the past 4 to 5 years, man. He's been catching the same average of balls. He led his former team in the Panthers in receiving last year. So you have a top receiver from his team last year coming to this team. Yeah, he's not going to be a top receiver for us because that number one, Torrey Smith's up there. And then you have Dennis Pitta. I know Dennis Pitta's a tight end, but that's a good combination for us from Flacco to Pitta. But Steve Smith's going to come here, and he's going to have that chip on his shoulder. I mean, remember the whole blood and guts thing, man. In week four when the Panthers come here, it's going to be fun. But for right now, I'm enjoying what I'm going to see out of him and his fire and passion. I mean, he's been scrappy in practices, been vocal. He's been fun, but again, on a serious note, he's going to go out there and strap up and show them that, hey, you know, I can still play, and I'm going to play this game best of my ability. So, I'm impressed with it. I love his fire. I've always loved this guy. You know, I've said that from day one when we signed him. I've said that way before he even was a Raven, that I love Steve Smith. So, but you're right, man. You know, old, he may be old, but he's going to be out there mixing with the best of them and showing that he's still got it, man.
Yeah, he is. So that's I think that's pretty much it. I think we've pretty much covered everything. Is there anything that we missed this show?
Anything we missed? Let's go to Holy Not and say not a chance, man.
All right, very cool. Now before say our goodbyes, we're gonna take a quick break real quick here. This is a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, so that's pretty much it for the show this week. If you want to talk Baltimore Ravens football with myself or Josh, you can always tweet to us. Tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you?
They can always tweet to me, as you know, ItalianGQ52. And Brandon, I must say, I'm loving this theme song, man. Every time it comes on, I just get fired up, man. So I'm loving the new digs here we have.
Yeah,
in year three, man. Joining.
Oh, absolutely. Year three, we're doing this for three seasons, man. It's been crazy. It feels like we just started yesterday, but we got some great people we're working with, you know. Great new music. A good friend of mine, Brad, I was like, hey, we need some new music for the show. Can you do something for us? And he was able to come around with this song and really just great stuff. I'm a huge fan of this song, and look at this. We're expanding even more with the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Very cool for them for inviting us onto their network, talking about the Baltimore Ravens. So thanks to them as well. And don't forget, you can listen to us for free, absolutely 100% free, on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. For more information on the show, go to The Call Podcast on Facebook, facebook.com/The Call Podcast. You can also go to BrandoCash.com, where you get information about this show and all the other shows from Brando Cash Entertainment. Now, I think that's pretty much it for the show this week, but Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate that. Yeah, it's going to be fun in week three, guys. It's getting closer every week. We're chipping away, getting another game under our belt in the preseason, getting closer for the real deal, and I really can't wait till that Sunday morning and I wake up refreshed and reborn. Feels like it, but you know what? It's going to be smells of tailgating in the air come Sunday morning on September 7th. But before we get to that, we have a dress rehearsal. Raven Skins down at the bank on Saturday night. I'll be there. I know you all will be there, at least try to get in, because you only let 70,000 in. But hey, come on down. It's going to be a fun time. I really can't wait to see what our boys are going to have in store for us come Saturday night under the lights. It's going to be Saturday Night Football, Baltimore style. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, Baltimore Ravens, fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.